Throughout our history, many important stories are left untold until someone brings them to light. Like local author Jan Baptiste Adkins, who was leafing through local newspapers from the 19th century and fell upon stories of African Americans who helped shape San Francisco. She dug deeper and decided to write a book about the city's black history. It's a photo book called African Americans of San Francisco, and it chronicles the lives of significant black people, pioneers, from the days of the gold rush until today, from the escaped slaves who landed in the city to Kamala Harris. Jan Adkins joined me in our studios to talk more about that history. She started with the story of William Leedsdorf, one of the first black citizens of California. He came to San Francisco in 1841.
He was a captain of a merchant ship. Now, he actually came from St. Croix, and he sailed to San Francisco. His ship was his steamship was the very first steamship to settle in the bay in bay waters, and he came to San Francisco in the early 1840s. Mm. And he was from St. Croix in the West Indies. Well, he passed as a white person, and no one knew that he was actually black. There were still very few people, mm-hmm. and he was able to resembled a white man. So what happened is that he became very wealthy. He owned lots of other businesses, and then when he died, which is right before the gold rush, his business partner went to St. Croix to find his mother and to let his mother know that he died and to give her all of the money and whatever. And he found out that she was a woman of African descent and his father was of Danish European descent. Mm. And so that's when the partner found out that he was a black man. And then he came back to San Francisco and, of course, tried to keep it a secret. But eventually the word got out that he was, in fact, of African descent.
The word got out that he was black.
Yes.
That is so interesting. What happened after that? What did that mean?
What happened is that, I guess people just accepted it at that time. But he was wealthy and the rest of his money, his partner took the rest of the money and continued in business. California was a place where many slaves knew that they could come here and they could gain freedom. But on the other side, there were some negative kind of things, too, because California had a law that did not allow blacks to testify against whites or to defend themselves. So there's an example in the book about Mifflin Gibbs and Peter Lester, who owned a boot shop, a men's shop that sold boots and men's garments. And a white man came into the shop and beat up Mifflin Gibbs. Well, Peter Lester had to stand there and watch this. He could not defend Mifflin. He could not defend their name or anything. He had to watch his partner get beat up. And so they were so upset about this that both of those two men decided to leave California. And they led 200 families from California to British Columbia. Mm-hmm. So, that's a downside. But eventually, though, the governor and through the state legislature and through the Colored Convention, that was the organization where blacks came together and they worked very hard to overcome those laws. And the laws were overturned in the 1860s. Mm. So they were both good and bad.
The first photo in this book is William Leedsdorf. And the last one is Kamala Harris. And in between, there are decades and decades of just rich photographs and rich history. Let me kind of go forward in time with you a little bit to the 1940s and the 1950s. And the Fillmore jazz scene, you have such great photographs here of the Fillmore jazz scene and Barbary Coast. Yeah. And you have also Josephine Cole. She became, in 1942, the first black teacher hired by the San Francisco Unified School District. She worked at Balboa High School.
I've documented people in broadcasting. One particular
Belva
person,
Davis.
Belva Davis.
Isn't here.
And before Belva Davis, we have Nathan Hare and his wife, who was also involved in radio and television. A person such as Cecil Poole, Judge Cecil Poole. Well, what's really important about him is that he was the first. in 1948, when he left the military, he was a military lawyer. Mm-hmm. And in 1948, he was appointed as the very first assistant district attorney under the governor, Edmund Brown. And so he was the very first African-American to hold that position of assistant DA. Then President Kennedy appointed him as the attorney for the Northern Region, the Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General for the Northern Region. And so there's a photograph in the book with him, with Bobby Kennedy and Cecil Poole. And then so he was the first. And then after being appointed the Assistant Attorney General, then he was also appointed to the Court of Appeals of the Northern Region. And this was under President Gerald Ford. And so he served in that capacity until 1997 when he died. So he was a pioneer from the 40s over 40 years of serving as of opening the door and serving in the legal field as the first. And so I just felt like if we're going to write a book about African-Americans and the African-American community, it's so essential to identify those early pioneers that opened the door and made the way for so many of us.
And many of them were from the churches, the church community.
Oh, yes.
Tell me a little bit about the church communities here in San Francisco and what role they really played.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? That goes back to the 1850s. There were three main churches that started in San Francisco in 1850. They provided leadership to the children and leadership to family members. Political leadership happened in the church. As a matter of fact, a Catholic church sponsored Martin Luther King to come and speak to the citizens of San Francisco back in the 1960s. So the churches really are a bedrock of the community. The churches provide leadership in the community, and we see this still happening today. Third Baptist Church is a very important church in San Francisco. First Zion AME and Bethel AME churches, along with many, many other churches. And in the 1940s, we had the Church of All People under Dr. Thurman. And that church was another church that was the very first church that became an integrated church. And people from all over the world came to the Church of All People.